Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tappin, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. Join us as we discuss everything paranormal with host Wayne Inman and co-hosts Richard the Grizz Haggard and Big Dave. Let's get started. Here's Wayne.
Welcome, everybody, to Tappin', the Arkansas Paranormal Network. Coming to you from Van Buren in Fort Smith. We are actually running a test tonight on some equipment. Richard won't be on tonight with me. We're still lining things up. Hopefully, we have a show running pretty soon, and we can bring you some good shows this year. We're planning on running two shows. One during the middle of the week and one on the weekend. So get prepared. We've got some good guests. I'm trying to line up to hopefully come in and join us. And as we also will be joining some of the other cast here around that's going on. One of our guests will be Terry Pox. He's the paranormal preacher that we have teamed up with this year as our group, and we're working together to help out people. So I hope y'all enjoyed the show tonight, and here we go. Y'all enjoy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tappin', the Arkansas Paranormal Network, coming to you from Van Buren and Fort Smith, Arkansas. I am your host, Wayne Inman. My co-host is Richard the Grizz.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We've
and
got
our,
a great one for you tonight.
We have a good show for you. White Collar Sideshow is with us, and we want to thank y'all for joining us tonight.
That's right. Thank you guys for having us. Indeed.
If you haven't, real quick, if you haven't seen these people or heard these people, you need to go in and look them up on the Facebook and listen to some of their songs. They're awesome.
Yeah, you can also find them on YouTube. But real quick, before we get going, I've got one question. A very serious question.
Uh-oh.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I thought that was going to be the question. I thought it was, and I was right.
That's the answer. No one knows.
I had to do that. I'm sorry. That's one of my favorite songs.
Awesome.
Yes, yeah, that is awesome. You know, that's my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I was trying to disguise it the best I could.
Hey, man, true fans can tell.
Love it.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Now, I got a good question for you. Where did the pig face come from? You got the pig mask. I mean, most of your videos got this pig. Huh?
Yeah. Yes. So back in the day, White Collar started as two drummers, and it was me and Phil, and then, you know, Veronica jumped on board. And then, I feel like we were just talking it through, and then one day we went to a Halloween costume shop here in Fort Smith, that it's out of business now, I think, or maybe it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Was it Helene's?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've actually done paranormal investigations in there.
That's where me and Richard met up was it over there. So.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's where we started getting some of our first white collar costumes way back when we first started. and anyway, Phil found that pig mask, and we were like, dude, why don't you just wear, like, a pig mask?
But you were talking about having, like, pigs in the videos and stuff.
Yeah, we were. Like, we were talking about doing that.
The symbolism.
Yeah, a lot of the symbolism. I mean, and of course, this is, like, 2006, 2007, you know, in that era. Different characters, different symbolisms, but the pig was always, like, my example of dirtiness, shamefulness kind of thing back in the day. Mm-hmm. But,
I was wondering,
the evolution, I'm trying to remember way back in those days. Those are so long ago.
It's been so long. I was just wondering where y'all picked that up at, you know, because it's kind of odd to me that it was a pig mask that shows up in most of y'all's videos, and I'm sitting there going, I got to ask about this.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we always bring the pig back, like Jason or Freddy Krueger or something. Like, he's always the villain in some form or some way in our shows. And I don't,
Fine is a character that is not going to be able to be killed.
I'm trying to figure out how we add him into our new stuff. Like, or does it keep going? Like, how do you do it? Like, it's so tricky to, you know, keep doing that kind of. Like, Jason can have 20 movies. Right? Freddy Krueger can have, like, 13, 14, 15 movies.
Right. No, I just want to step in here real quick and give the viewers a little bit of personal experience with you guys. Of course, V, I don't know if you remember or not, but the first time I ever met you was at Apple Market. I was in there with Jackie, and he sits there. He goes, oh, hey, watch this. And he walks up or sneaks up behind this good-looking lady, and I mean that with all honesty, gooses her. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, dude, what are you doing? And I was expecting you to turn around and just cold cock him. And next thing I know, you turn around, you're like, oh, hey, y'all hug and everything. I'm like, okay, who is this person? And then he introduced me to you and told me who you were with and everything. I was like, I've never heard of him. Well, we got out into the truck after that, and he says, here, you got to listen to this. And the first song he played for me was Blackheart Hearse. I'm like, dude, I love this stuff. But I want to tell our listeners that as far as celebrities, music professionals, whatever goes, y'all are some of the realest people that I have ever met. I mean, before your shows, you're out visiting with your fans. You're actually having conversations with them. You're not sitting there going, oh, hey, glad you're here, turn and walk off. After the shows, you're right back out there with everybody, signing stuff, taking photos, just talking with them, letting your fans know, hey, you're people too, and we care about you, and we love the fact that you're here.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important part is that, you know, music is a bridge to connect all of us, right? We're all...
It's our excuse to hang out
right.
with
us. Yeah, and so we always view it like that, so it might not be viewed that way with other artists, but for us, it's, I mean, you know, we live in a box truck, like we don't have a house, so, you know, where people might see that you're a celebrity from your social media, they really don't know how you truly live, and especially through COVID times,
right.
as a musician. And so, you know, so there's a facade there for a lot of people, and for us, ourselves as cockroaches.
Well, you know.
So anyone, so we love people, man. We just love people.
Well, you know, last year I wound up in the hospital twice. The second time I wound up in there, when I first got there, I was told I was 15 minutes away from dying. During the next 24 hours, I went from needing a heart transplant to triple bypass to stents to luckily what I wound up with, which is an implanted defibrillator. That whole week was nothing but a major emotional roller coaster for me.
Man.
I couldn't have any visitors. You know, in the middle of COVID, couldn't have any visitors come up there. It was just me and the nurses. And, of course, you know, the nurses, they can't come in and sit for hours at a time with you and visit. I did have my phone, however, and I sit there and I started going through all of y'all's YouTube videos, listening to the music, watching your interviews on there, listening to what you guys have been through in your lives and your relationship. And even though I had already seen them and stuff, watching and listening to them again is what gave me the hope and the strength to carry on. And that's
wow.
I honestly have to say you guys are a big part of why I'm still here, because there were several times I wanted to just lay back and say, you know what, I'm done. Get me out of here. Take me home. But listening to you guys and your music and everything really got me to thinking, got me to looking at how many people I do have in the world that actually rely on me in some way or another. And that's what really got me into the mindset of, you know what, I'm going to fight this. It's not going to take me. So I want to really thank you guys for what you have done and let you know that y'all may not realize it, but you touched so many lives in such a positive way. But enough about that. I would, if y'all don't mind, I would like for y'all to kind of give a little bit of a background into how or what y'all were doing before White Collar Sideshow and how you got to where you are now.
Well, first, Richard.
Yeah, that was way.
Yeah, you can't just ask a question after all of the heaviness of that. Oh, my gosh. Come on, buddy. Lord have mercy. Like, first of all, let me say this. Honored to be some form of a baby step and a block to you getting back into movement again and life. And I love it. And, you know, I wrote this album from a spot of my own life, trying to get back into life again. And, you know, when you go, like, even for us, like, you know, you were in a life and death situation and you got to fight through those things. And those kinds of circumstances are different for lots of people in lots of different ways, and the challenge is looking at it like that wasn't even the name of the album. It was going to be called Valley of the Skull. And then I was in a place in my life where I was struggling mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, just completely falling apart. And I got through that moment, super difficult, super hard, learning how to ask for forgiveness, learning how to try to forgive yourself anyway, finding out, going, man, I didn't come here to die. I came here to live. And what is the steps it takes to get there? And even right now, Richard, like going through COVID and our career and a lot of things, it's easy to be in an atmosphere of just haze and going, man, what's happening? What is happening?
Exactly.
And so even right now, like that song is when we went back and started rehearsing for our tour that we thought was going to happen. You know, it felt great to play those songs again. It felt great to sing those songs because it felt like we were really in those places again and looking for growth and movement. And then when everything canceled, it was just like, oh my gosh, here we go again. So it's places can be different for everyone.
Right.
But, anyway, I just want to say that we're all in it together, man. And you saying that to me and to Veronica just means that we're on the right path as well. And that, man, gosh, let's just keep sharpening iron together. Right.
Amen. Well, you know, I've told you guys several times in person, I love your music, but I don't think I've ever been able to tell you guys. And I can't wait till I get the chance to tell you face to face. I love you guys as fellow humans. I love you guys as people. And honestly, I don't really consider you per se friends. You're like extended family. You're family. And like I said, with everything, because I know some of your backstory, and with everything that I've learned about you guys to see what y'all been through and where you're at now, it's amazing that anybody can even go through all of that. And, I mean, you guys have got just such an awe-inspiring story. Hmm. And you could even ask Gina, every time we see you guys, even if it's one of you coming up behind me, yanking on my shirt, saying, hey, give me my shirt back. I don't know who that would be to you, Veronica. Yeah, every time we see you guys and we get to talk to y'all, even if it's just for 5 minutes, I am in such a better mood after that because y'all are just awesome people. I love your love for life and your love for not just your fans, but people in general. I mean, back when, or last year, there was a time period where y'all had set up to where people could go onto your website and sign up for a chance to have like a 30-minute to an hour-long talk with you guys, either on the phone, video chat, or whatever. Y'all are the only group that I followed that did anything like that. And you had stated in there that y'all understood with the COVID lockdowns and everything, it was a very stressful time for everybody and a very depressing time. And you wanted your fans, your people, to know that y'all were there for them. And
I mean, I think it's because we were feeling that too. Like we were in Nashville for 6 months or maybe a little longer than that during COVID, and everything was locked down, and we were in downtown Nashville at our church, The Anchor, and doing all those drum videos and doing a lot of things and still trying to build community without building community in person, right? Trying to figure out life. And when we got back to Fort Smith, we stayed at my friend's house, Bean, and we called it the Shine Box. And we loved the Shine Box, but after all the snow and everything, we just felt like we were going crazy getting locked in. And we were like, man, surely other people feel like this. So please just contact us. I feel like sometimes, though, when we do those things, I think a lot of people might not sign up because they might not feel like they're going to get a chance to talk to us, or it just would never, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
In all reality, like that, we were scheduling everything, and we might do that again with just the way it is right now, just to try to keep those doorways open, because we had so many responses and so many people who just, gosh, just could throw up on us and we could throw up on them, and it felt great, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry, guys. You just carry yourself in the background if you can hear it.
I thought it was my phone at first.
Yeah,
like,
we thought.
Oh, no, what did I do? I got
some of the.
I can hear my voice.
Wayne, how you holding up, man?
We're good.
Oh, cool. I like that song.
Valley of the Soul.
You know, our friend Tom Ware played guitar on this.
Oh, cool.
You know Tom Ware from, Fort Smith?
Yeah, I've heard of him. I don't know him.
Yeah, he's a good friend of ours, a great musician.
Awesome, singer-songwriter.
And he played on, gosh, probably 9 songs.
Something like that.
We were in Los Angeles recording and sent the tracks to him in Fort Smith, and he recorded a few things and sent it back to us.
Awesome. Well, real quick, I want to actually get one of your songs playing on here so everybody can really hear it. But before that, give us just a quick little background as to what all you guys have been through before White Collar and after White Collar.
I'll try to go as quick as possible. I mean, we've been married. We just celebrated 20 years marriage.
Well, yeah, Veronica might be able to sum
this up.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
So we do have a little bit of history, but we actually met and got married in three months later. And so we did not know each other when we first were married. We just knew we were going to get,
Veronica was the buy one, get one free.
Yeah, Tristan was 2 when we met and 3 when we were married. So it was buy one, get one free. It's I can't even believe it's been 20 years. It blows my mind. But a big part of White Collar started because he and I had struggles in the beginning of our marriage with him sneaking out of bed at night, hopping online. This is long before cell phones, long before smartphones. And he was checking out, online pornography night after night, and I eventually called him out on it. And through that whole situation, it led to a series of dreams that turned into White Collar Sideshow, and he literally just wrote all these dreams down. He would wake up in the middle of the night, just write all these dreams down, and it ultimately became the blueprint for White Collar. And so I was managing a multi-million dollar...
Well, they know, Fort Smith. They're from Van Buren, right?
Well, no, I'm just telling the readers.
I forgot that we're not editing this. I love not. No, normally everyone is like, hey, we'll edit later.
No,
so
we're live.
Language, Wayne. Watch your
language.
Oh, my head.
Oh, it's a live show.
Okay, I'm sorry.
When we get off, it goes in archives, and anybody can go in and download it and listen to it anytime they want to.
Well,
awesome.
They'll get a little kick out of that.
Sure.
So I was managing Ziggler Music, but I was doing the online side. So just this multi-million-dollar company, and we had a 4-bedroom house and 3 cars, and we were basically just living the American dream.
Yeah, I was working. I was selling drums on the storefront of that.
Yep.
And then I did factory work before that.
And she was in a band at the time called Uttermost.
Yeah, and before that I was in a band called Bloodshot Eye. So I have a lot of drumming history in there.
I've actually got an Uttermost disc.
Oh, cool. Moon Red?
I don't remember which one it is, but I've got it around here somewhere.
Yeah, I did a couple albums with Uttermost, man. I love those guys.
Yeah.
All of those guys.
Every one
of those guys.
For sure. So, I don't even know where I was.
Yeah, so we ended up...
You're working. I'm working. A missionary comes to our church and basically says, if your life, really long story short, if your life was a bumper sticker, what would it say? And for me, it was the American Dreamer. And essentially, I felt the Lord say jump, and conversation, with the Lord, really, was you know, your husband has been given a gift and he's been given dreams and these ideas, and I am inviting you in on this opportunity. And so essentially I called T, he was in Minnesota, and I was like, hey, the Lord said jump today. And he's like, okay, where are you jumping to? And I'm like, I'm quitting my job. We're selling our house. We're selling our cars. We're selling everything that we own. And we're going to put this show on the road. And we are, you know, just going to make this thing happen. And he's thinking, like, I'm back on drugs. He's like, what has gotten into you? This is crazy. Are you kidding me? And I was dead serious. And we did. I quit my job. He quit his job. We sold everything. We sold our house during the 2008 market crash. And bought a little RV and just started trying to book shows. I thought it was going to be easy. You know, so I'm like, hey, the Lord called us to do this. This is going to be easy. But it's been just, you know, scratching and clawing every step of the way. But we've released three albums. We're working on our fourth one now. We didn't plan on writing this early. But because of COVID and being locked in, we're like, well, we don't have anything else to do. Let's just start writing music. And so we have done that, and I don't know when we're going to record it. I don't know when we're going to release it, but it's what we've done, scratch tracks. So we're getting there with the songwriting process. But, yeah, now we're just, you know, unfortunately canceled all of 2021. Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails released an amazing statement talking about why they canceled all of 2021, and it really spoke to our hearts. His heart was just really right in line with how we were feeling as well. But we had actually canceled like a week prior, but basically when he canceled, I'm like, this is what we were trying to say, because he just said it so eloquently, and we just didn't feel like it was time. It just was not time yet.
Right.
And the healthcare system is just so overloaded, and people just aren't ready yet. Just didn't feel like it was time, so...
I know
here
your show that, or when y'all were supposed to be at the film festival here in Fort Smith, I know we were looking so forward to that, because I had snuck around and had bought the tickets without the wife knowing it.
Oh, man.
Her birthday was a week after that, and I was going to take her to the show. And I was going to try and see if I could get a hold of one of you guys ahead of time and get y'all to say happy birthday to her on stage and surprise her.
You know, we would have.
But no, we understood with everything going on. I mean, there's a lot where people are saying, oh, we're ready. But then there's also a lot where stuff's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But
I think for us,
point,
it's just a matter of just safety all around for us and everyone. And
right.
And that's it. And we can move on from that conversation.
But at this point, Wayne, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Can we play Bring Out Your Dead?
Yep,
good thing that song went to what was it, number 38 on the Billboard rock chart, top 50, and then the
number 17
on the secondary chart, which is kind of like the minor leagues of, I guess is how you say it.
Oh,
and,
cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, unexpectedly. Neither did we. I mean, we did a little radio push during COVID, and there was a DJ out of Minneapolis that sent in, you guys ought to just send me some more songs. And so we sent him one and did a little radio push with Curtain Call Records, who is our record label that we love. And yeah, so it just happened to move up the charts, right? Just unexpectedly. It's just something you never thought in your entire life.
Awesome.
And then as soon as all the radio pushing was done financially, it ended.
Well, folks, here we go with White Collar Sideshow's Bring Out Your Dead. We'll be right back.
gun about to explode. Feel that bird as you run from the horde. Feel that chain about to rush your neck. Tied to a box, we turn to death. I'm melting, melting, and don't care who knows it. Full throttle, roll bottle, zombie metaphors. Consuming the flash from the heart to the stomach. I'm melting, I'm melting. Sharpen those sticks, concrete those stones, the heart begins for human bones. Slow to judge, quick in the dead, stereotype.
It's perfect for your supernatural kind of theme songs.
Yeah.
I got a funny story about that one real quick. The other day, Gina and I were out running around taking care of monthly business. And you guys know I've got Resident Evil's Umbrella Corporation on my blazer. We
right.
pull up to a stop sign or stoplight. We're sitting there. I've got y'all's music playing. That one starts playing. Get up, and I'm sitting there singing. Just I'm getting down with it.
Yes.
Gina's sitting there. She goes, honey, I think you're scaring this person over here. And I looked over to the passenger side, and the person in the car, they're sitting there looking like, what the heck? Then I happened to look over at the guy sitting on the driver's side of it, and he's sitting over there jamming with you, sitting there
yeah.
throwing a thumbs up and everything. But, I mean, it was so funny. I mean, I was getting with it. I wasn't holding back. I was, bring out your dad! Bring out your dad!
Yeah. Hey, I feel like these are some of the best songs that we've written. So I'm stoked that you love them. I'm stoked that you're jamming them and cranking them.
Well, bring out your dead. I didn't come here to die. And, of course, Blackheart Hearse. are my three favorite songs of you guys. But I just thought it was funny. I'm sitting there just damning. One person sitting there looking like, oh, my God, what in the world is going on? What is he on? And the other guy sitting there going, yeah!
Richard and Wayne, that is the story of our entire life. As performers, as musicians, as artists, as White Collar Sideshow, you just summed up our entire life in a nutshell.
That's true. I said a while ago when I'm playing on Xbox, I've got you guys' music going in the background. I'll have people sit there and they're like, who are you listening to? And I'll tell them it's a local group to me, a really cool couple. They're known as White Collar Sideshow. Look them up on YouTube. Listen to some of their music. You're either going to like it or you're going to love it. It's one of the two. Right. You're either going to like it or you're going to love it. There's no hate.
It's country and Western.
Well, I'll tell you, I like the music. You know, after Richard let me listen to some of it, this all these songs that I've been playing here I really like them. I hadn't heard any of the older songs or like he was talking about. But I've listened to this album here, or what was it? What's that album called?
I Didn't Come Here to Die. I think that's the third one. Wayne, the older albums are more centered around horror films and a lot darker, even the films that play behind us, we film our own movies inside for our live shows, and it's all based on this. It's all horror movies and horror films, and so this third album was more of like a sci-fi western.
Yeah.
So we've performed at like Spooky Empire in Florida, which is like a horror film convention similar to like Comic-Con, where we've gotten to meet like Freddy Krueger and Captain Spaulding and Elvira.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We've got to meet.
Hey, at least you got to meet her.
Man, she is beautiful. We got to meet like three of the Jasons and Michael Myers, and you know, so we've played at a lot of places.
Spooky Empire. I mean, not Spooky, House of Shock.
And then we've performed at the House of Shock in New Orleans numerous years, which is a giant haunted house.
Was a giant.
Yeah, I can't explain it. I mean, it would be a whole episode in itself to describe the House of Shock. 3,000 people a night, and it's three haunted houses that you go through. The first one is like a Rob Zombie style house. The second one's done with 3D glasses, and then
lots of clowns.
And lots of clowns, yeah. And the third one is done as their depiction of what hell looks like. And then we're outside performing while people are going in, and it's a theatrical. Awesome. It was started by our friend Ross, who was also Lord Belial in the actual haunt. Bill Anselmo from Pantera helped start it back 25 years ago, although it's ended now. But that's what we perform in a lot of crazy places that have to do with haunts and haunted houses. And we're kind of in that Alice Cooper vein, I guess is what you'd say, Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne stylish.
I'm a fan of yours, but I can't. My wife's not too much into that kind of music, so she's more of the country western. She likes the Celtic Woman's and stuff like that, you know. So she's more.
Come on,
that.
Man! I'm a huge country fan.
Well, I'm not putting down a country thing, because I've got a lot of country. I like a lot of country songs and stuff. It's just I like the hard metal stuff too. I listen to the Poison, and I use AC/DC, Metallica, Slipknot, places, things like that, so. But
hey, Wayne.
Yeah.
Poison was my first concert I went to in 1988, I think it was, maybe 87. Poison and Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first concert. I was eighth grade, seventh grade, maybe.
My first rock concert was Warrant and Trickster.
I don't know if you would know the, well, you know, my dad used to be in the radio business, and he actually had, they had a remote that he first came into the Fort Smith area, KW810, K1K Mag, the radio station, and their concerts that they used to go to or broadcast for when they first got the unit was Blood Rock. And I don't know if y'all know who those guys are, but that was my first ones that I always went to, was the band Blood Rock. That they always had an outside concert, and it was always over there.
Uh-oh, we lost them.
Uh-oh, well, what happened? Maybe. Let's see.
I don't know.
Let's see. Maybe I can get them.
Hey, we got you.
Okay.
Yeah, we got you now.
I got you.
Yeah.
So I was, what I was saying really quickly was that that I still listen to heavy music, but mostly we listen to electronic chill. We listen to outlaw country like Hank Jr., Hank Sr.
Yeah.
You know, Willie Waylon, but we love Hank III. And then we also love like Cab Calloway, Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong. And we love all the Italian greats.
Please tell me you guys listen to my cousin, Merle Haggard.
Oh, come on! Of course, of course, it's one of the greats. So we listen to a lot of. I mean, I play a lot of different genres of music too. So
well, I like it all. Really, like if somebody's going to like take the time and effort to.
I think we're having some connection issues.
We always joke that there's only one tower in the whole state of Arkansas.
Right.
And
you
I
got one
say
tower that works and millions that are fake.
That's right.
I always say it's ghosts in the machines because it seems like every time we have a show, we have some kind of spooky thing that happens. And...
Right?
You know.
Well,
it's the spooky season.
Pull out the theremin.
You do this, you know.
Yeah. I saw this movie in the theater.
You know, I had to have that for you.
I hope so. Yeah, I saw that movie in the theater. Was that 1984? Was that Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Was it 86?
Somewhere around in that time frame. I'll be glad when they finally come out with a new one.
Is there another one coming out?
They're supposed to be having a new one come out where it's like
after
grandkids.
Yeah, like Binkman's grandkids or something.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
remember it was supposed to come out last year during COVID, and then they put it off. The trailer looks epic.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
that's awesome.
I liked the last one they did with the girls. It was cool for what it was. But
they put a different twist on it.
Right. But I want to see this new one because they have one of the original Ectos in it.
Aww.
That's cool.
So,
I guess The Rock's not going to be in it.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's in everything. I was just wondering if maybe he's coming back in the Ghostbusters movie. I don't know. Just throwing it around.
I don't know.
That would be kind of funny seeing him running around with the proton pack on his back.
They finally made Ghostbusters more action pack, action hero.
Except for it looked like it's like a 2-liter bottle because he's so big.
Right.
Did you guys see that Rob Zombie is remaking The Munsters?
Oh, really?
No, oh, I hadn't seen that.
I think I saw something or other about that. But it kind of went, you know, but I didn't know who was making it.
Yeah, it's Rob Zombie. So I'm
not
quite sure. Well,
no offense, but I hope he does a better job with that than he did with House of a Thousand Corpses.
You know,
it's not for everybody.
It is not for everybody, although no disrespect there. I can see it. I love it. I get it. It's craziness.
Right.
Listen, I like zombies movies.
We don't like them all.
But, obviously, they're the factor of the gore factor is definitely there. It's throwbacks to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. A lot of the influences that he watched.
His movies, but, you know, when House of a Thousand Corpses came out, I kept wanting to rent it. It was 8 months later that I was finally able to catch it at the rental store.
Yeah.
Everybody kept going on, oh, it's so awesome, it's so awesome, you got to watch it, it's great, da-da-da-da-da. After about 10 minutes, I had to turn it off.
Oh,
and
definitely. It's out there.
I think it was because of all of the flashing lights and colors and everything he had in it that I couldn't watch it. It was literally giving me a headache. But most of his other movies I've enjoyed. I love his music. You know?
Oh, yeah,
Honestly, though, I would rather see him redoing the monsters than Tim Burton.
Tim Burton might be interesting. I never thought of that.
I'm sure he could do a good job, but with Tim Burton, most of his movies, to me, seem to have the same look. You know, I mean, to me, Nightmare Before Christmas had even though it was animated, had the same look as Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, he's got that style. That's his
MO.
Yeah.
Kind of like
Tarantino. You know, you're gonna get that style.
Or
like
Kubrick.
Kubrick.
Right.
That's the calling card, his business card, so to say. And Zombie is like that too, for sure, with his flicks and the way he sells his movies. And I dig it. I grew up on horror films and I loved them. I used to watch them Sundays after I got home from church when I was a kid. They used to show them on Sundays when you only had three channels, remember? And
right.
And it would be the Universal ones. It would be, you know, Wolfman or Frankenstein, but then it would be like Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein or, you know.
Oh,
it would
my
be,
God. I love so, Abbott and Costello.
I grew up in Little Rock or Jacksonville. And I remember those coming on at Sunday afternoon or something. I love all those horror films.
Well, I hope everybody has kind of enjoyed the little preview of our shows coming up. That was White Collar Sideshow. They were on a couple of years ago. Don't know if I can get a hold of them guys. Not maybe. You never know. But anyway, this is just kind of I know it's kind of, we had a 2-hour show, but this is some of the things that may be coming up or will be coming up with the new shows and stuff like that. So I want to thank everybody that's listened to us. Saying we are back and welcome back, and we'll be doing more shows in the future. Midweek probably, I would say, and Saturdays. If we're busy on Saturdays, then it would be on a Sunday, but most of the time it'd be Saturdays and the midweek on about Wednesday, I would say. So, everybody, y'all have a good weekend, or rest of the weekend, it's almost over with, and hope everybody's recuperated on their hour. spring forward and lost an hour of sleep thing. If not, you'll never get caught up with it, and that's the bad thing. But anyway, that means longer days, warmer days, and more time to spend outside where we get these cold weathers the other way. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us, and thank you for tapping the Arkansas Paranormal Network, and we'll see you soon. Not later, but sooner. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for doing, supporting us. Keep it going, and we should have really a good season this year. And everybody, have a good day.